Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Good morning. We have come to the final part of the series from zero to hero. So let's have a review. On the first part of the series, we have met Peter. Hindi po si Peter Parker. Okay, si Peter na from being empty, God had filled him up. No, from emptiness to fullness, from nothingness to becoming somebody following Jesus. And he did a tremendous ministry in the early church. So purihin ang Panginoon for the life of Peter. Sa pangalawang linggo, we have met Moses, a man of excuses, yet he became exemplary in his power to deliver the nation Israel. And last week, we have met the gorgeous and the fabulous David. The giant killer, the giant slayer, all because of his heart fully surrendered to the Lord. So how are you po? How are we becoming heroes in our time, in our season, in the calling of God to us? So now, I would like to share with you another hero. In a while, you will be meeting him. Pero this time, tayo muna ay dumulog sa Panginoon sa isang panalangin. Let us close our eyes and let us bow our heads. Panginoon, pinupuri ka namin. You are here in the house. We welcome you with great anticipation of your move to us. Your great word to be revealed unto us. Lord, not only we accept it, but we accept it, Lord, with humility so that we will be changed according to your what have instituted for us. Lord, not only sa buhay namin, but even in our families, even in our community, even in this nation. Lord, sa punto na ito, pinapanalangin namin sa iyo ang aming bansa. Anumang gawa ni Satanas, anumang plano niya, Panginoon, na kami ay hamakin, na kami ay pabagsakin mula sa kasalanan, kadiliman. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put him under our feet and we declare that Jesus is the light of this nation and we will rise up again as you make and build heroes, not only in Crossworld, but also, Lord, sa iba't ibang bahagi ng bansa. Panginoon, tatayo kaming muli at idedeklara namin si Jesus ang Diyos at ang liwanag mong siyang mararanasan namin. Salamat, Panginoon. Speak to us, for your servants are listening. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Palakpakan po natin ang Panginoon as we hear the message of the Lord. Sige po, do you know Mike Tyson? Anyone who knows him? Mike Tyson is a name familiar to most in athletics, particularly in boxing. At age 19, he became a professional boxer. At age 20, he was the youngest heavyweight champion in history. The following year, he unified all three major championship belts and defended them 6 times. In 1988, Mike Tyson stopped Michael Spinks in 91 seconds, earning the recognition as the universal champion in boxing. He was considered to be one of the greatest punchers of all time. Alam niyo po, next following years after that, he was brought up to be inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame. And the moment his name was brought up to the controversy flared because of his moral life. So siya po ay na-awardan, nakasama sa Boxing Hall of Fame. Alam niyo po, nung doon na siya sa posisyon na yon, nagkaroon po ng maraming controversies. Bakit po? Alam niyo po, Mike Tyson has been married 3 times. No? With allegation of spousal abuse in the first marriage and infidelity in the second marriage. Siya po ay mayroong 8 anak sa iba't ibang babae. He was convicted of raping an 18-year-old girl in the 90s and spent 3 years in prison. In 1997, he was disqualified from a boxing match for biting the ear off... Sino yung kinagat niya ng penga? Evander Holyfield. And then, 2003, he filed for bankruptcy. Alam niyo po, ang worth po ni Mike Tyson ay hundreds of millions of dollars. Pero, he went back to zero. Why? He spent his money on women, drugs, cars, jewelry, and clothing. In 2006, he was arrested in Arizona and suspicion of drug possession. In 2007, he pleaded guilty. In 2009, he punched the reporter. That moment, no po, he was in trouble. When his name came up to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, talaga pong controversy flared up. Papaano nga bang ang isang magiting na kilala na boksingero sa hindi lang sa Amerika kundi sa buong mundo ay malalagay nga po sa Hall of Fame and minsan sa Hall of Shame. Hindi lang po ito sa sports, hindi lang po ito sa athletics, ito rin po ay nangyayari sa iba't ibang aspeto ng buhay. Alam niyo po, the Bible has its own Hall of Fame at ang tawag po doon ay Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, makikita po natin dyan, the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Alam niyo po, similarly, like Mike Tyson, meron din po mga controversial people listed in the Hall of Faith or in the Hall of Fame in the Christian world. We have Rahab, the prostitute, Jephthah, Samson, Barak, no, whose lives are less than exemplary. And here they are listed still in the Hall of Faith or in the Hall of Fame. You know, as servants of the Lord, siguro minsan sa ating pananalangin, atin din pong inasam. Now someday, no, I will have my name or have my, siguro po, yun nga po, pangalan natin as one church or pangalan ng bawat servant or minister here to be in the Hall of Faith or in the Hall of Fame. We want to be found faithful to the Lord. Amen po ba? Amen? Do we desire to become faithful to the Lord? Amen? We are running the race. We are fighting the fight. We are imitating Christ in our Christian walk. We attempt to excel. But so many times, we fail. Sometimes our past, yung mga buhay natin nung nakaraan, minamaliit nito ang buhay natin sa ngayon. Ang mga kasalanan natin ang siyang nagpapaguho ng ating katapatan sa Panginoon. Yung mga kasalanan natin kahapon at kamakailan lang ay nagbibuild ng guilt. At dahil doon, hindi na tayo makalapit sa Diyos dahil tayo punong-puno ng hiya at punong-puno ng pagdududa. Now, we can identify ourselves with this Mike Tyson or this men of faith who are marred, whose lives are marred by controversy. Ano bang kontrobersiya ng buhay mo? You know, our lives are less than perfect. Wala pong perpekto sa atin. Kaya nga po, kung bubuksan natin ang ating Biblia sa mga hukom, kabanatang 6, dito po natin i-conclude ang ating serye From Zero to Hero. We see Gideon's life. So Gideon, from zero to hero. Gideon's life is similarly less than perfect. Alam niyo po, sinabi po sa Judges 21:25, ito po ang summary ng buhay ng mga Israelita sa panahon ng mga judges. In Judges 21:25, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Wala daw pong hari, wala daw pong leader, walang nangunguna sa mga panahon na iyon. Kaya nga ang bawat isa, bata, matanda, babae o lalaki, Ginagawa nilang mga bagay ayon sa kanilang kagustuhan. Alam niyo po, ang mga tao sa panahon ng 12th century BC ay mga tinatawag pong expert sinners. Wala silang hari, wala silang kaharian, sira ang kanilang templo, ang Jerusalem ay hindi na ang kapital o ang capital ng bayan ng Israel. Walang unity among the 12 tribes. Merong pong apathy. Merong hindi pagkilala sa Diyos. Pagkakatamlay ng kanilang spiritual life. Na people are sexually immoral. Merong idolatry kabi-kabila. Merong rape. Merong murder. Merong child sacrifices. Sa bawat araw, bawat balita, ito ang iyong masisilayan. Hindi kaya pareho rin tayo ng panahon ng mga hukom sa panahon natin ngayon. In those days, Philippines, no king, and everyone did or does as they so fit. You know, kung titignan po natin ang siklo, ang cycle ng kasalanan sa panahon ng mga hukom, makikita po natin na mauuna meron silang kapayapaan. God will give them peace. Now, peace inwardly and outwardly. Walang war, walang gera, walang labanan, walang hirap. Pero sa gitna ng kapayapaan, hindi na naman masasatisfy ang mga Israelita at sila ay magko-commit na naman ng kasalanan. Pagkatapos noon, paparusahan sila ng Diyos, iiyak na naman sila. Pag iyak na naman nila, maaawa ang Diyos, magre-raise up ng mighty king, mighty judge for them. And Israel will be delivered. Ito po ang siklo ng buhay ng mga Israelita sa panahon ng hukom. Kung titingnan natin, ito rin kaya ang tinatakbo ng bayang Pilipinas. Ito rin kaya ang tinatakbo ng iyong pamilya. Ito rin kaya ang tinatakbo ng personal mong buhay. Minsan mo nang naranasan ng kapayapaan ng Diyos, hindi lang kapayapaan ng Diyos, kundi kapayapaan din sa Kanya. Not only the peace of God, but the peace with God. He had forgiven all your sins. He had washed all your sins away from you. But yet, no, again and again, you repeat the same sin. And then you will see yourself being afflicted. And then you will cry out to God. You will go back to church. And God will give you somebody to lead you. And you will be delivered. And somewhere along the way, you will repeat the cycle again. But not only the cycle of sin ang makikita po natin sa aklat ng mga hukom, kundi makikita rin natin ang siklo, the cycle of God's patience and God's kindness. Do you believe that? Ang Diyos ba ay pasensyoso sa'yo? Ang Diyos ba ay mabuti sa'yo? Kung iyong ipinagdiriwang ang kabutihan ng Diyos sa araw na ito, maaari ba natin siyang palakpakan? Purihin natin ang Diyos sa kabila ng paikot-ikot na pagsuway at pagtalikod sa Diyos, mabuti pa rin ang Panginoon. And this is the picture of Israelites in the book of Judges. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. You see, in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 2, because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. Verse 4, they camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. You know, yung pong bayan ng Israel at ng Midian ay may relasyon. ang pangalan po ng anak ni Abraham kay Keturah, na pangalawang asawa niya, pagkatapos namatay si Sarah, ay Midian. Si Moses po ay nakapag-asawa ng isang Midianite. Si Jose, na ipinatapon po sa Ehipto ng kanyang mga kapatid na po, ang kumuha po sa kanya at nagbenta po sa kanya to slavery ay ang Midianites. At sa punto po na ito, ang Midian ang kalaban ng mga Israel. Subalit hindi lang po sila isang bansang Midian, kung hindi meron din po silang allied countries, the Amalekites and other eastern countries. Kaya po sila ay dumami. Kaya kung makikita niyo po, they made Israel's lives unbearable. Talaga pong pinahirapan po nila ang Israelita ng sobrang hirap, hindi lang ng isang taon, kundi 7 taon. Sa sobrang takot po at sobrang gapi ng bayan ng Israel, sila po ay makikita nyo na po sa mga kuweba, sa mga bundok, at sa mga ilalim nga po ng mga kalupaan. Imagine nyo po, ikaw ang nagmamay-ari ng lupa, hindi mo ma-defend, hindi mo maipaglaban. Hindi ka makakain, no? Hindi lang po sila takot, sila po ay gutom. Because once they planted crops, no po, darating na po itong mga laksa-laksang mga kaaway na po na ito at kukuhanin po ang kanilang mga pananim at wala pong ititira sa kanila. 7 years in a row, year after year, they experienced fear, famine. Israelites flee. Natakot po sila. Tumakas po sila. Imagine niyo po, ang mga Midian, ang kumukuha ng kanilang mga crops. Everybody say with me, crops. Mga pananim. Sa kabilang banda po, ang mga Israelita ay mayroong idolatrous spirit. At ang kanila pong sinasamba ay si Baal. And this is the irony. Baal is the god of crops. Si Baal daw po ang pinaniniwala ang Diyos na nagbibigay ng ani, ng mayamang ani. Is it an irony, a big irony, that while the Israelites worship Baal, the god of the crops, the god of the harvest, pero taon-taon naman po, ninanakaw ang crops na ito at hindi po sila makakain ng anumang ani. In fact, wala silang maani. God is sending a message to Israel. Today, God is sending a message to you. Today, God has a message to me and to you. He is sending a message to our cycle of life. Sa mga tinatakbo ng ating buhay, may mensahe ang Diyos. May mensahe ang Diyos sa kung sino at ano ang pinanghahawakan mo para sa kaligtasan mo ngayon. Akala po ng mga Israelita, si Baal ang Diyos ng Himala, ang Diyos ng Ani, ang Diyos ng Kayamanan. Ngunit it took 7 years of harassment. It took 7 years of humiliation. It took 7 years of famine for Israel to realize that there is Yahweh. 7 taon ang lumipas. 7 taon nilang sinasamba si Baal. 7 taon silang gutom. 7 taon silang takot. 7 taon silang nagtatago. Noon lamang nila na-realize na meron palang Yahweh. That they can appeal to Yahweh for help. You know, this is the 5th time. Panglimang siklo na po ito na talaga pong niliglig ang Israelita ng kadiliman at ng kamatayan sa harapan mismo ng Panginoon. Mula sa punto na namatay si Joshua, ang Israel po ay lumayo na sa Panginoon. Ang Israel po ay nakalimot sa Panginoon. Ang Israel po ay tumawag sa ibang Diyos. And in this particular moment in the hands of the Midianites, for 7 years, they have been brought very low. Ito na po ang pinakamababa, pinakamadilim na yugto sa history ng Israel. So they cried out to the Lord. So they cried out to the Lord. Alam niyo po, ang pag-iyak daw po ng Israel ay inihalit tulad sa pag-iyak ng isang buntis na nanay na nagle-labor. Wala daw pong makakapagpaliwanag ng sakit ng pagle-labor ng isang babae. No po, hindi, walang salita na aangkop sa sakit na mararanasan ng isang babaeng nagdadalang tao na malapit na niyang ipanganak ang sanggol na ito. Ito ay mayroong intense emotional pain. At ito daw po ang iyak ng mga Israelita. Ito na yung iyak ng talagang panaghoy, na talagang distressed, depressed, devastated, that they finally called Yahweh and appealed for help. And surprisingly, when they appeal to God, He responded. When we appeal to the Lord, He will respond to you. He knows your pain. He knows your hurts. He knows every tear in your eyes. Isa lang, tumawag ka sa Kanya. And when He calls, and when you call on Him, He will respond. In verse, sumunod po ng mga talata, makikita po natin dyan, in verse 7, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." Surprisingly, nung tumawag ang mga Israelita, tumingi ng tulong sa Diyos dahil sa panggigipit ng mga Midianites, nagpadala ang Diyos hindi ng sundalo, kundi isang propeta. Isang preacher ang kanyang pinadala. The prophet here points out their disobedience. Ipinaalala muna ng Diyos sa mga Israelita ang dahilan bakit kayo devastated, bakit kayo distressed, bakit kayo depressed, bakit kayo lost, bakit kayo hungry, bakit kayo in hiding because of your sins. The prophet points to their disobedience as the cause for the harassment. Alam niyo po, sinabi sa libro, sa aklat ni Job, na hindi lahat ng ating affliction, hindi lahat ng ating sakit ay dulot ng kasalanan. Pero, mayroon tayong pagkakasakit at mayroon tayong affliction at mayroon tayong mga devastation o pangyayari sa buhay na napakababa dahil ito ay dulot ng kasalanan. Isa po sa patunay na ina-address ng Diyos ang ganitong sitwasyon mula po sa mga talatang ito. It is because of your disobedience that you experience this affliction. Mga kapatid, let us examine our lives. In moments of distress, in moments of depression, in moments of sickness, is this sickness caused by your sin? Is my distress caused by my sin? Hebrews chapter 12, sinasabi po dyan that God disciplines His children. Mga kapatid, huwag po tayong magpakatigas ng kalooban sa harapan ng Panginoon when He disciplines us. Because God disciplines His children. And His discipline is the rod of love, a rod of correction. Huwag pong hintayin. Do not wait for years of humiliation before you appeal to God for help. Marahil ngayon, nagkukubli ka sa iyong kasalanan. Marahil ngayon, nahihiya kang aminin ang lahat ng ginawa mong kasalanan. Pero kapatid, no, huwag mong patagalin because sin corrupts our bodies. Sin corrupts our spirit and our soul. It will bring us punishment. It will bring us devastation. And don't wait for years with your sins to be forgiven. Don't wait for humiliation before you appeal to God for help. Huwag mo hintayin na meron ka ng AIDS. Meron kang HIV bago mo sabihin, Pastor, I am so sorry for all my sins. Would God still forgive me? That's the point of humiliation. Huwag mo hintayin na ang iyong kabuhayan na pinagkatiwala sa iyo ng Panginoon ay unti-unting maubos dahil sa iyong pandaraya at hindi pagbibigay ng justice sa iyong mga tauhan. Huwag mong hayaan na you are behind bars because of your negligence, because of your disloyalty, because maybe of your corruption. And when we appeal to God for help, kapag sinabi na natin, Opo, Panginoon, may kasalanan po ako and I am here coming to you, please help me. Ano po ang motivating factor? Bakit tayo humihingi ng tulong sa Diyos? Kapag tayo ay under devastation, or pagka tayo ay depressed, pag tayo ay distressed, when we are in the yung malalim na pangangailangan sa Panginoon, ano ang dahilan bakit tayo lumalapit sa Kanya? Ano ang dahilan bakit tayo humihingi ng tulong sa Diyos? What is the motivating factor? Para ba tayo maalpas sa pagka-zero, pagka-bankrupt sa ating negosyo? Para ba tayo makaalpas sa mga sakit at karamdaman? Para tayo'y gumaling? Para ba tayo makaalpas at makakawala sa anumang gumagapi sa ating consciousness? What is the motivating factor why we want to go out of this difficult situation? You know ang sabi po dyan sa verses na yan? I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. In times of distress, in times of depression, in times of sin, in times of devastation, God is showing Himself to us and He's saying to you, I am the Lord your God. That should be our motivating factor when we are in sin, when we are in need, to draw ourselves to God, not to exit from this limiting situation. Tulungan mo ako, Diyos, na makaalpas na nga ako sa pagkakautang ko. Tulungan mo ako, Diyos, para gumaling na ako. Tulungan mo ako, Diyos, para pumasa lang ako sa lahat ng mga pangarap ko. Hindi po iyon ang motivating, the great motivating factor. The great motivating factor when we are in distress, when we are devastated, is to be close again to God. To draw ourselves to Him. And that, I think, is the sweetest moment of our communion with God. It's not the answers to our prayers, but it is seeing the face of God and hearing Him say to us, I am the Lord your God. The sweetest moment of communion with God is when God is our God. God's prophet becomes the expression of God's grace. He wants to explain to them. Nagpadala ang Diyos ng nameless and faceless prophet upang ipaliwanag sa kanila bakit kayo nagsasuffer. Hindi po ito salita ng condemnation, kundi ito po ay pagpapaliwanag. Dito magsisimula when you know where to start. And that's the beginning of your breakthroughs in God. Dumating na sa punto ng buhay natin na ang gulo-gulo. Ang gulo-gulo talaga. Hindi mo na alam ang gagawin mo. You need to go to the starting point. Pumunta ka kung saan ka dapat magsimula. At ang simula mo ay hindi yung pangarap mong makalaya sa anumang mga bagay na gumagapit sa'yo. Your starting point is with your Creator. Your starting point is with your God, the maker of your life. Your starting point is with your Savior. The starting point is with God. the Lord of all. Dumating ang propeta, ipinaliwanag sa kanila. And from there, mauunawaan ng mga tao anong kalagayan nila bilang bayan sa harapan ng Panginoon. Yung hindi nauunawaan ng mga Israelita, saan nga ba't sila talaga dapat magsimula? Gideon, our hero, doesn't get it. Tingnan po natin Judges chapter 6, verse 11. After the prophet came the angel. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." What a great help from God. Tama po ba? Pagkatapos ng isang propeta, dumating naman ang isang anghel in a particular person, no? Gideon. Where was Gideon in this season, in this time? Si Gideon po ay nasa wine press. Ang wine press po ay yung pong paglalagay, yung pong mga ubas na inani, doon po yun ilalagay at dudurugin po yun, kakatasin. That's the wine press. At ano pong ginagawa ni Gideon? Nagkakatas po ba siya ng ubas? Hindi po. Siya po ay nagbabayo ng wheat. Na po, bagay ba na bayuhin mo yung wheat sa wine press? Where was he? Threshing the wheat in the wine press. Gideon was hiding. He is in hiding against the enemies. You see here, verse 12, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Paano siya magiging mighty? Eh, hiding nga siya. Paano ito mangyayari? That's why Gideon said in verse 13, tingnan po natin ang sabi po ni Gideon. Next slide. Verse 13, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of the Midian." So you see here, nagsalita po si Gideon sa isang lalaki na hindi naman niya kilala kung sino nga ito. Pero sinabi po sa kanya, ayon sa Bible, this is an angel of the Lord, part of the preparation ng God para tulungan sila, i-deliver sila against the Midianites. Particularly, he showed up to Gideon. Tignan po natin. Tatlong bagay, why Gideon is a hero? Is a zero first. What makes Gideon a zero? Tignan po natin. What makes Gideon a zero? Number one, he has this first if in his life. Tignan po natin. The first if is the if of security. Yung if, yung kung, yung expectation, yung pasubali, yung inaasahan. Sabi niya, the if of security, sabi niya, if the Lord is with us. Alam niyo po, Gideon is at fear against the Midianites. Takot po siya. He was in hiding. He was afraid of losing everything. Kung titignan po natin, no? Meron po siyang picture anak ng isang, tingnan mo, susunod na picture? Yan! Yan po yung unang picture, yan po yung pag-trash, no? Or yung pagbabayo ng mga wheat, ng palay, at ng kung ano-ano pa. That's the way we do it. In public, under the sun. Ganun po yan. Kasi pag ganyan mo, yung ipa ay hahanginin at mapupunta sa kabilang side. Yun po yun. Subalit si Gideon, nandun po siya, oh, that's the real wine press, sa kabilang picture. Nasaan siya? Dun po sa ating caricature, makita po natin, nasa ilalim po siya nun. He was in hiding, he was afraid. He was afraid of losing everything. Meron siyang naani. At baka naman kuhani pa ito ng mga Midianites. Yet, though he was hiding, he was arrogant. Mayabang siya. Sabi niya, kung nandito lang ang Diyos o kasama natin ng Diyos, kasama namin ang Diyos, bakit? Nasaan? Paano nangyaring iniwan niya kami? This is the theology of today. Ito ang sinasabi ng mga millennial, ito ang sinasabi ng mga tao ngayon. Meron niyang Diyos, pero iniwan naman niya tayo. There is a God, but He abandoned us. Sabi po dito ng angel, the Lord is with you. As if God is saying, I am with you, but you have forgotten me. This is the if. This makes Gideon a zero. Hindi niya ma-defend ang kanyang lupain. Hindi niya ma-defend ang kanyang pamilya. Hindi niya ma-defend ang kanyang mga pananim dahil sa takot. Takot na ano, hindi na siya mamatay, kundi mawala ang lahat sa kanya. At ang kanyang argument, hindi naman mawawala ang lahat sa akin, di ba kung kasama ko ang Diyos? Bakit niya kami iniwan? Nasaan siya? Papaano niya kami iniwan? Pero ang sagot ng Panginoon, unang greeting sa kanya ng angel of God, the Lord is with you. Hindi niya sinasabing, the Lord will be with you. The Lord was with you. Hindi niya sinabing, the Lord was with you dahil sa kasalanan mo, iniwan ka eh. The Lord will be with you kung hihingi ka ng tawad. Ang sabi po dito, the Lord is with you. It's present. Despite of your fear, despite of your arrogance, despite of your sin, despite of your idolatrous heart, God is with you. God is with you. No, yung if natin ng security, minsan sinasabi natin, kung nandito ang Diyos, siguro may pera ako. Kung nandito ang Diyos, may puhunan ako. Kung nandito ang Diyos, hindi ako may sakit. Kung nandito ang Diyos, masaya ako. Bakit hindi ako masaya? Bakit hindi ako maunlad? Bakit ganito ang buhay ko? Because you are looking for the situation that makes you happy, that makes you secure. Remember this. Our security is not based on a favorable situation. Anak, pakibalik na lang. Our situation is not based on a favorable situation, but whose we have in every situation, even in distress. And that is the presence of God. Amen? Amen? So hindi mo iaangkop ang iyong seguridad. Hindi mo ilalagay sa kahulugan ng seguridad mo ang mga bagay na mayroon ka o bagay na wala ka para sabihin mong ligtas ako at hindi ako ligtas. Ligtas ka sa anumang sitwasyon kung kasama mo ang Diyos. God is with you. And that makes you a mighty warrior. You know, ang tindi ng salita dito po ng angel eh. He's speaking about the word of God. God's word itself. Sabi niya, God is with you, mighty warrior. Speaking of the present, He is with you, mighty warrior, despite you are hiding, despite you are afraid, despite you are hungry, you are still mighty. No, tinitignan ng Panginoon yung hindi ikaw ngayon kung hindi yung ikaw magiging. He sees you as a hero. He sees you as a mighty woman of God. He sees you a mighty valor of God. Amen? 10 years, 5 years from now, you can be a different person. You can make a difference when God is with you. When you allow God to be with you. When you allow the situation to be under the feet of the one who is sovereign, who holds every time, every place, every situation, and every beat of our heart, pwede niya sabihin sa'yo, with pag-asa, with hope, you can do mighty things. That makes Gideon a zero. Wala na eh. Magtago na lang tayo. Dahil yung security niya nawala. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him. Sabi kanina, the angel, ha? The angel came. But the Bible says this time, the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. When the Old Testament speaks of the Lord, L-O-R-D, showing up to you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in the form of an angel or in the form of man, no? Nandun na siya, ikaharap na siya ni Gideon. There's this encounter. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Binigay na po yung purpose ng kanyang pagdalaw. Binigay na ng Diyos ang kanyang layunin kay Gideon. You know, sometimes we feel we're nothing. We can do nothing. We're just the same youth like other youth. We're just the same mothers like other mothers. Napakasimpleng mga tao. But you know, there is this appointment with God. There is this mighty purpose that we could be different, we could be distinct, we could go above any other mediocre people, any other regular people, because we can do the works of God. Yan po ang magpapaiba sa atin. Subalit ang pangalawang dahilan kung bakit zero si Gideon is meron siyang pangalawang pasubali at if sa kanyang buhay. The second if is the if of identity. Judges 6 verse 15 says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, if I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Pangalawang if niya is the if of identity. Paano yun? Narinig naman niya eh. Narinig niya yung sabi sa kanya sa verse 14, go with the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Sagot ni Gideon, paano pong mangyayari na ililigtas ko ang Israel? Paano pong mangyayari? Yung pong lahi namin, ang pinakamahina sa Manasseh. At ako po, si Gideon na tinatawag niyo, I am the least. Kung magkakaroon ng listahan siguro ng pinakamagagaling na warrior, pinakamatatapang, ako po yung pinakamahina. Sabi po dito, weakest, the least. That's how he looks at himself. Pero sabi ni Gideon, if I have found favor in your eyes, sige nga, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Ang tindi po dito eh, sinabi po niya, ako yung pinakamahina, ako yung pinakamaliit, paano ko isa-save? Pero biglang balikwas si Gideon na sinabi niya, sige nga, kung ikaw nga iyan, kung Diyos ka nga, kung galing nga yan sa Diyos, patunayan mo. So, nakanino na po ngayon ang burden? Nakagideon ba? Nasa Diyos. Patunayan mo, Panginoon, ikaw yan. Patunayan mo nga sa akin, hindi niya sinabi po dito na, I am the weakest, I belong to the weakest clan, I am the least among my family. Paano ba ako lalakas? Paano ba ako aakyat dun sa top, at least sa top 5 man lang ng mga warriors sa family namin? Kapag ganun sinabi niya, the burden lies to him. Tama ba? Tama po ba? Nung inutusan ka ng Diyos, gawin mo to, iligtas mo sila, eh mahina nga po ako eh. Tulungan niyo nga po akong lumakas. Eh kami nga po yung mga pamilya ng mga duwag. Paano nga po ba kami lalakas ang loob? Diba tama po? Kung yun ang sasabihin niya, nasa kanya yung burden. And nakanino po yung burden ngayon? Sinabi niya, I am the weakest, I am the least. Then, if. If I have found favor in your eyes, sige nga, kung mayroon akong pabor sa'yo, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Paano po ginawa po ng Diyos? You see here, the cycle, no? Of Israelites, ang tindi. May kasalanan na mapagmalaki pa sa Diyos. Pero ang Diyos, ang cycle niya, paano siya nakikisalamuha sa tao? Full of patience and full of kindness. Ito po verse 18. Chinalenge po siya ni Gideon. Ano sabi po ni Gideon? Please do not go away, ha? Huwag kang aalis, verse 18. Until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. Offering ang ginamit po ni Gideon para makilala niya ang Diyos na nakikipag-usap sa kanya. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went inside, pumunta siya sa kanilang bahay siguro, prepared a young goat. And from an ephor of flour, he made a bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. Can you imagine? Sandali lang, sabi ng Gideon. Kung ikaw talaga yan, may I have found favor in your eyes, hindi para pala kasi nako, kundi para lang malaman ko ikaw yan nagsasalita sa akin. Teka nga. So, ite-test kita. Ito yung matindi minsan, no? We test God and we put the Lord into test. Pero God is still patient. So, Gideon went inside. Kumuha po siya ng kambing. Tapos kumuha po siya ng, ano po sa Tagalog yung flour? Harina. Kumuha po siya ng bread ng walang pangpaalsa para po iyang tinapay sa Turks. And then, ano pong ginawa niya? Kumuha siya ng basket, inilagay niya yung kinatay niya na goat. Tapos yung broth, di ba kinatay niya yung goat? Tapos pinakuluan po niya yun eh. Yung sabaw po nun, anong pong tawag doon? Papaitan. Yung mamaitan. Ibinuhos, inilagay po niya doon sa kaldero. Tama po ah. Nilagay niya sa kaldero yung pinagpakuluan, kasama nung meat, nasa basket. Ayan, si Gideon, mag-o-offer na siya. Ano po sabi ng angel? Exciting! Verse 20, sabi po ng angel, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it to the Lord, peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Gideon is so distant with God. He's so arrogant. Gideon had no idea how to offer sacrifice to God. The angel directed him. Tinuruan siya ng anghel kung ano ang tama, what is the right and the proper way of sacrificing to God. Nagdala lang po si Gideon ng parang kung ano eh. Lahat ng sangkap, nandun naman. Binigay niya sa anghel. Sabi ng angel, no, there is a proper way to do that. Ilagay mo yung meat doon sa bato, sa ibabaw ng bato. Ibuhos mo yung pinagpakuluan, sabi niya. And then put the unleavened bread. And then, when the angel of the Lord touched the sacrifice, fire came up. What's the difference? Anong kaibahan? Hindi alam ni Gideon ang pagkakasunod-sunod. Ang mga paraan, kung paanong tama magkaloob sa Diyos. Pareho po eh. Hindi naman pinadagdagan ng anghel eh. Pareho ng sangkap. Ngunit meron dapat mauna, dapat pangalawa, dapat pangatlo. Pero ang pinakamatindi, Gideon had no fire. Gideon had no fire. Gideon had no fire. Maaring nangyayari ito sa atin. Akala natin ang pagpunta sa church ay isang sakripisyo. Ang paglilid ng mga life groups ay isang sakripisyo. Ang pagkakaloob, ang pagtatide sa pag-o-offering ay pagsasakripisyo. Nakala mo nakalulukot sa Diyos, ngunit walang apoy. At ang apoy na iyon ay ang presensya ng Diyos, ang haplos ng Diyos, ang kanyang pagtanggap sa lahat ng ito. He's so distant from God that he's so entrenched in pagan worship. Ganito ang paraan ng pagsamba kay Baal. Dadalhin nila yung bull at sasayaw sila doon ng walang apoy. What's the difference between the Baal's worship and the God's worship under Elijah? Elijah bring down the fire of God. Kapatid, how is our worship to God? Baka meron po tayong false intimacy with the Lord. Akala mo, kompleto na lahat. You go to church, you have your tithes and offering, you have your song, you have your everything. But you have no touch of God. You don't even allow Him to touch you. You don't even allow Him to embrace you. You don't even allow Him to correct you. You don't even allow Him to speak to you. And this is false intimacy. And sabi niya dito, false identity. Why? Because I am the weakest, I am the least. Who created you anyway? It is God. Alam niyo, minsan yung pag sinasabi natin, hindi ko yun magagawa, hindi ko yun kaya, hindi ako kagaya ni ganito, hindi ako kagaya nun, ang lakas kaya ng loob nun, ang kapal kaya ng mukha nun, kaya niya yung mapahiya, hindi ako ganyan, I'm the weakest, I'm the least. How many times na ang mga excuses po na ito ay naging profile picture ng ating laziness, apathy, and self-centeredness. How many times our excuses become profile pictures in our Instagram, in our Facebook, in our Twitter to cover our laziness, apathy, and self-centeredness? You know, minsan, gusto nating sumunod sa Diyos, but we delay it. We put excuses on it. It's just like, alam niyo po, when you travel abroad, pinakamahaba na po yata na naisakay ko sa aeroplano ay 14 oras from Manila to Heathrow, London. And minsan po, may mga nakakatabi kami sa aeroplano. And it happens during conquest time. Dala-dala ko yung gift of God cards, dala-dala ko yung Bible, nagde-devotion ako, 14 oras po eh. And then, nagpapakiramdaman kami ni Pastor Al, sino ang magsasalita. Kapag kalalaki siya po, pagka babae ako. Pero alam niyo po yan, there's prompting in the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit to speak and to talk to this person. Pero alam mo yun, 5 oras na nakalipas, 7 oras, 10 oras, hindi mo pa nakakausap. Nung maglaland na yung aeroplano, saka mo kakausapin. At pag kinausap mo, no? Bigla mo ipapasok yung tungkol sa Diyos. That's the most awkward situation ever. Imagine mo, ang haba-haba ng lakbayin mo, 14 oras, doon na lamang sa punto na maglaland na yung aeroplano, tsaka ka lang magsasalita at sasabihin mong mahal ka ng Diyos. I have a message for you. Do you receive the gift? Do you have gifts? Something like that. That's the most awkward. What else? Katabi mo na, kachat mo na, mga kapamilya, mga relatives natin na hindi natin nasasabihan tungkol sa pag-ibig ng Diyos. And when the time comes na ano, nasa ICU na, na heart attack na, tsaka mo ngayon itatanong, nasharean ko ba ng gospel? Yung palad na, sasabihin ngayon, you need God, you need to repent, you need to go to church. Pero nung maayos ang lahat, you never speak about God. Marami tayong mga opportunities, but we delay because of our excuses. And our excuses becomes a profile of our laziness. And that's the sad thing. When Gideon knew that it was the Lord whom he was talking, lalo siyang natakot. Kaya in advance pa ng Panginoon, nalaman na ni Gideon, Lord, ikaw pala yan. Mamamatay ako because I saw you face to face. Patay na po ako. Anyone who sees God face to face will die. Pero nag-speak ang Lord sa kanya, hindi ka mamamatay. Meron ka pang gagawin eh. Ano po ginawa niya? Judges 6.25, tines po ng Panginoon. Si Gideon. Kwento ko na lamang po, in the, itong part na to, ang sabi ng Diyos sa kanya, nung gabi na iyon, kumuha ka ng bull from your father's herd. The one, 7 years old. Diba? 7 taon na sila nasa famine. Kumuha ang Diyos ng isang simbolismo ng 7 taon na bull. And then turn down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Nung gabi na yon, sinabihan siya ng Diyos, sabi niya, ganito gagawin mo, yung altar ni Baal, bubuwagin mo, pati yung Asherah pole, ibabagsak mo, pero sabi doon, there's an offering, no? Kukuha ka ng bull. And then sabi niya dito, then build a proper kind of altar for me. Bumuo ka ng tamang altar para sa akin. Sabi ng Panginoon, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using a wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down off to the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did at night rather than in the daytime. You see, Gideon, meron siya sinasabi sa pamilya. Eh. Mayaman sila, meron silang bull, meron silang servants. Pero Gideon is afraid of men. He's a man pleaser. Takot din siya sa mga tao. Eto na po, ginawa po ni Gideon yan nung gabi. Kasama ng 10 servants. Eto na. Kinabukasan, nakita po ng mga tao sa buong barangay ang pagbagsak ng altar ni Baal. At ang tanong nila, sino ang gumawa nito? They ask each other. And syempre, 10 kasama ni Gideon. Mayroon po doon nag-text, mayroon nag-leak. And therefore, to cut the long story short, alam na mga townspeople na it was Gideon who did it. Pero, hindi po nagsalita si Gideon. Anong ginawa ni tatay? Kanya pong kinover up si Gideon. At ang sinabi niya, well, kung si Baal naman yan talaga, Diyos, siguro naman ay ililigtas ni Baal ang kanyang sarili at alam ni Baal kung sino talaga ang gumawa nito sa kanya. At ang sabi po ng mga townspeople, and then, good, kung alam niya, siya magpaparusa dito. Kaya tinawag po nilang si Gideon, Jerub Baal. To remind him that you put down the God of Baal, the God Baal. And bahala na si Baal mag-contend sa iyo. You see here, ang command ng Panginoon kay Gideon, turn down the altar, cut down the Asherah pole, build a new altar, sacrifice 2 bulls on it. Alam niyo po, discovery dito, si Gideon daw po at ang kanyang pamilya ay hindi lang participant ng pagan worship. Sila din daw po ang nagpi-finance ng Baal worship. Mayroon silang bulls. Mayroon silang alagang bull. Mayroon silang altar sa harapan ng bahay nila para kay Baal. They finance, they led, and they directed pagan worship in Israel. Hindi lang po sila weakest in the tribe as a warrior. They are weakest, they are the least because of their idolatrous spirit. You see, if God would begin to change a nation, He will begin with leadership. Kung magsisimula ang Diyos ng pagkilos sa ating bayan, next slide, siya po ay magsisimula sa ating mga pangunguna. God is trying to purge Manasseh of his idolatry. Gusto ng Diyos ibagsak ang idolatry ng tribo ng Manasseh. God wants total worship. No altar, no statue, no animals, no material to rebuild the altar with total elimination of pagan worship. And God is going to challenge you in your private life before using you in a larger, more public way. Gusto ng Diyos, makita niya ang pagsunod mo sa pribado mong paglakad sa Kanya bago ka pa niya magamit sa isang malawakan na mga ganap na kinabibilangan ng maraming mga tao. Alam niyo po, many times your people will follow your walk, your lead. Tama ba, mga leaders? They will pray like you pray. Your life group members will talk like you talk. Your life group members, the disciples, will pursue holiness as you pursue holiness. They will be disciplined as you are. Bakit nga ba ganon? Kasi people imitate their leaders. That's why. Kailangan natin magpaayos ng buhay. That's why. Kailangan natin magpakubli sa Panginoon. Dahil ginagaya tayo ng tao. Hindi mo pa pwedeng ihiwalay ang pribado mong buhay, ang mga likes, ang mga preference, ang mga interests, ang mga kagustuhan mo sa paglilingkod mo. Kaya dito sa aspeto na ito, with the identity, the if of identity ni Gideon, ipinamalas ng Panginoon sa kanya na ikaw muna, ano ba, sino ka ba? You are not just Gideon. You are the Son of God. You are created by God. You are created to glorify the Lord, to worship the one true God. And therefore, tinanggal muna ng Diyos sa kanya ang lahat ng kanyang mga lahat ng kanyang kataasan, lahat ng hindi niya pagkaalam ng tunay na pagsamba sa Panginoon. See, if Gideon would face the 135,000 Midianites, kailangan muna niyang harapin ang kanyang tatay, ang kanyang 10 servants, ang kanyang mga townspeople ng righteousness of God. But Gideon was so afraid of men. Instead of stepping up and teaching the men about the true God, he hides behind his father. Di ba kanina lang nagpakita sa kanyang Diyos? Di ba kanina lang may word si God sa kanya? Di ba kanina lang na-encourage na siya? Di ba nakita niya kung paano nagkaroon ng fire? Pero bakit ngayon hindi niya masabi na nagpakita sa kanyang Diyos? Bakit hindi niya masabi sa mga tao na ito na ang Diyos si Yahweh ang dapat sambahin, hindi si Baal? He was afraid of men. If God will use us in the ministry, God will not compete with other idols in our lives. Sabi po ng isang quotation, the most important thing that I can do, the most critical thing, the most helpful thing for my people is my holiness. The most important thing that I can do, the most critical thing, the most helpful thing for my people is my holiness. Our intimacy with God builds our identity. It's not who you are, what you do. It's no longer what you did in the past. It's about being close to God. It's about being one with Him. It's about being courageous to say who He is in your life. It's about knowing God and knowing His purpose, obeying Him, whatever it takes. It is our intimacy that will build our identity in Him. Judges chapter 6, verse 33. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Absrite to follow him. Do you want to hear a trumpet? Gideon has a trumpet. Yan lang kanyang weapon. Patawagin ko nga po si Gideon. Gideon, are you here? Randall, come here. Okay, everybody, let's clap our hands for Gideon, the boy, Randall. He will show us how to blow a trumpet. Kuya, gawin mo to, or else ako gagawa niyan. Hindi ko kaya, alright? So, quiet everybody. Here is Gideon. He blows a trumpet when the Spirit of the Lord came to him. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Mga kapatid, when the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, he blew a trumpet. The hiding man, the fearful man, the full of arrogance and the full of excuses came up and he blew the trumpet. Summoning the Absrites to follow him. Pagka sinabi pong summon, tinawag po niya lahat to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh calling them to arms. And also to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. Akala mo nandun na, no? Akala mo maglilid na. Akala mo mag-jump na to the mountains and say, Jesus is my Savior. Come on, people! Ito na si Gideon! Madami na nakikinig sa kanya. Pero humirit pa po ng isang if. The Spirit of the Lord is already upon him. Hinakaya na niyang harapin yung 135,000 soldiers ng Midian. Tapos na andun na siya eh. Tuburotot na po eh, nag-trumpet na eh. May sumunod ng mga tao sa kanya eh. Sinubok po niyang Diyos. Sabi niya, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, meron po ako ditong fleece. Meron akong balat ng tupa. Susubukan natin, Lord, kung ikaw talaga yung nagsasalita at kaya mo akong isave at ililigtas mo ako for sure 100%. Ilalagay ko ito ngayong gabi. Bukas ng umaga, pagdating ko, syempre may hamog. Ang fleece lang na ito ang basa. Yung paligid na iyan, dry. Hindi po tama ang ginawa ni Gideon. But you know what? God, because of his big heart to save Israel, he was so patient with Gideon. Napakabait ng Diyos. Pagkising po ni Gideon, kinuha niya ang balat ng tupa, piniga po niyang ganyan, isang palangga ng tubig ang nakuha niya. Samantalang ang paligid na pinaglagyan po niya ng balat ng tupa ay tuyo. Hindi pa po nasiyahan si Gideon. Isa pa. Please lang, huwag ka naman magalit sa akin. Next, sabi niya, when this happened, Gideon rose early and he saw everything. And sabi niya, nung isa pang humirit siya, sabi niya, ito naman ang isa pa. Please, huwag ka naman magalit sa akin. Gawin niyo naman po, yung fleece naman ang tuyo, yun namang ground ang basa ng hamon. And what did God do? Ginawa rin ng Panginoon. Only the fleece was dry while all the ground was covered with dew. Gideon wants to push back again and again. God was tested by Gideon. And this is not the right way, proper way to discern God's will. What is God's will in the first place for Gideon? Chapter 6, verse 14. Go and deliver Israel from Midian. Gideon was attempting to escape God's will. Gideon here is negotiating things with God. What makes Gideon a zero? Number three, the if of faith. No, pinasubalian niya yung pananampalataya. Meron na palang promise eh. Yun ang sabi niya, oh, may promise na si God. If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised. Eh, ba't kailangan mo pang i-test? Meron daw pong isang lalaki na nagkagusto sa isang babae. At ang sabi niya doon sa isang friend niya, bro, please pray for me. I really like this girl. And I want to have her for the rest of my life. And then sabi nung isang kaibigan niya, okay, I'll pray for you. And then the following week, nakita po sila, sabi po nung lalaki na nagpapapray sa kanya, bro, parang hindi talaga na siya ang sagot sa akin sa panalangin. Kasi in the Word of God, nagpakita po ang sagot ng Lord. Ano bang sagot ng Lord sa'yo? In Hosea chapter 2, verse 2, she is not your wife and you are not her husband. Yun daw po ang sagot sa kanya ng Diyos nung plinip niya yung Bible. Eh actually, pagkaruktong noon, why is she not your wife? Because she is a harlot. She is a prostitute. Wrong context. Sometimes we get God's word wrong in wrong context. And sometimes may word na si God, may instruction na si God, meron ng binigay na malinaw na direction, pero you keep on negotiating with God. Baka naman, we want an extra measure of confirmation. Bakit nga ba nung panahon ni Jesus nandoon siya, nakita ng mga tao si Jesus, si God? Bakit ngayon, kailangan natin ng mga rebulto, kailangan natin ng mga imahe para mapang-confirm na nandito ang Diyos? Isn't His Word enough, more than enough to say, for the 7,321 promises, 20 promises each day, are not enough for you to live in faith? This is power. Pero we tend to put extra measure of confirmation. Alam niyo po, napakahirap talagang gumawa ng desisyon sa buhay. Pero sana naman po, huwag nating kuhanin ang paraan ng Diyos sa ating sariling paraan upang umaalis tayo sa Kanyang kalooban. We see God patiently work with Gideon. And know, right now, where is Gideon? Alam ng Diyos kung nasaan si Gideon. Remember this, faith is the language of heaven spoken by those who believe in God. Ang pananampalataya ay isang salita, hindi ng wikang Pilipino, kundi ito po'y salita doon sa langit. Ito ay lingwahe sa langit na sinasalita ng mga nananampalataya sa Kanya kahit hindi siya nakikita. It is acting in obedience to what was spoken by Him who reigns up there. When I think of faith, this is what I see. Faith is the language of heaven, spoken by those who believe in Him, without even seeing God. It is acting in obedience to what was already spoken. Nothing more, nothing less. Itong sinabi niya, wala nang tawad, tapat na po. Dahil sino ang nagsalita noon? He is the one reigning up there. Amen? So tatlong bagay na nagpa-zero kay Gideon. Wala siya nagagawa dahil sa kanyang ifs. Number one, the if of security, the if of identity, and the if of faith. But we know that in the end of the story, Israelites won. Amen! Natalo ng army ni Gideon ang 135 Midianites. How did it come? Paano ito nangyari? Part 2, the making of Gideon as a hero. Number 1, we should pass the test. Mga kapatid, if you want to become a hero, if you want to become a hero to our personal life, at least man lang mapangunahan mo ang buhay mo sa katuwiran, mapangunahan mo ang buhay mo sa kalooban ng Diyos, mapangunahan mo ang pamilya mo, mapangunahan mo ang iyong trabaho nang may pagkatakot sa Diyos. Number one, you just need to pass the test. Kung paano ginawa ng Diyos kay Gideon. Alam niyo po, kung makikita po natin, itong tatlong pictures po na ito, number one, No po, in chapter 7, inutusan po ng Diyos si Gideon, no, with all the 32,000. Meron pong 32,000 na, di ba, nag-trumpet po siya. And then merong 32,000 men na sumunod po sa kanya, ready to fight. Pero sabi ng Panginoon, napakadami nila. Pauwiin mo na lang yung mga natatakot. Di ba, number one? Gideon was so afraid. So God confirms the spirit of fear in Gideon. Tingnan mo nga. Sinasabi rin niya, hindi lang para sa mga tao, kundi para sa kanya. Ikaw ba, Gideon, may takot ka pa? Now, if there is still fear, pauwiin mo na. Out of 32,000, 22,000 po ang umuwi dahil sa takot. Imagine niyo po, 135,000 ang kalaban nila Gideon. Midianites, 135,000. Nasa chapter 8, verse 10 po yan. Sila Gideon nagsimula sa 32,000. Kung mayroon pong 32,000 ng Israelites against the 135,000, kung ako po ay Israelita, ang goal ko lang po ay pumatay ng apat. Noong pong pinauwi ang mga takot, ang mga duwag, 22,000 ang nahiiwan. Kung ang isang Israelita lalaban sa 135,000, isa laban sa anim. No? Saksakin mo, isa, dalawa, tatlo, apat, lima, anim, uwi na! Nakakota na ako. Anim. Pero sabi ng Lord, marami pa rin. Dalhin mo yan sa tubig. Sa ilog, painumin mo. Not only tests of fear, but only, grabe ang sense of humor ni God. No? It's not about the water, it's not about how we drink the water, but it's about passing the test. Sabi lang, sige, painumin mo sila. Painumin mo, takbuhan po yung 22,000. Tignan mong mabuti. Lahat ng tumakbo sa tubig at sumubsob ang ulo at uminom na ganyan, diretso, parang mga aso, pauwiin mo na. Pero yung nag-scoop ng water, lumuhod, tapos nakatingin po na ganyan, yan ang kasama mo, Gideon. Out of 22,000, no? Ilan po ang umuwi? Out of 10,000 rather, 9,700 ang disqualified. Uhaw na uhaw. Wala nang pake. Only 300 passed the test. Unafraid, unashamed, ready to fight. But with 300 men against 135,000 enemies, you need to fight one Israelite against 450 soldiers. Paano mo gagawin yun? 1, 2, 3, 4, naka-504, naka-100 ka na, hindi pa rin, 200, 300, 450, isang tao, 450. Ano pong ibig sabihin ito? When we are in the battle, it is not our fight, it is the fight of God. Allow Him to fight for you because He has given you the victory already. You know, they don't have armors. Ito po, 300 na ito ay walang weapon. Ang meron lang po sila ay kitchen utensils. Pichel, torch, liwanag, at toroto. Hindi ko maintindihan bakit ang mga Israelita ay maraming toroto. No? Trumpets. That's the way they worship the Lord. But that's the way they celebrate God. Isa ito sa instrumento na powerful na ginamit nila Joshua. When pinabagsak ng Diyos ang Jericho. Isn't it this trumpet? Or these trumpets were souvenirs? Diba? Magkapupunta ka sa isang bayan, meron kang souvenir. Noong mga panahon na yun, wala silang ref, kaya walang ref magnet. Pero ang souvenir nila of their triumph is a trumpet. This would remind them that the sound of the trumpet is a sound of victory. The sound of the trumpet is the voice of God. The sound of the trumpet is the battle of the Lord being won by Himself to us, for us. Wala po silang sariling weapon. It's so scary. One is to 450. God doesn't call us to calculate the odds of success in obeying Him. He simply calls us to obey Him. Ang bawal pong isama sa gera ng Diyos ay ang mga taong mahilig magkalkula. May baong calculator, may baong takot, may baong hiya. He simply calls us to obey. That success is obeying Him. The moment you obey God, that's the moment you succeed. The moment you say yes to God, that's the moment God and you meet in His power. Number two, it's not only that you pass the test. Number two, that makes Gideon a hero is note. Akala mo ikaw lang ang may if? May if din si God, no? Eto na. Inunahan na ng Diyos si Gideon. Ang tindi talaga ng sense of humor ng Panginoon. This time around, God initiated the if. But not as a limitation, the if of encouragement. When I was reading this, damang-dama ko po ang pagkapasensyoso ng Diyos. Damang-dama ko po ang pagiging tatay ng Diyos sa Israel. Damang-dama ko po yung encouragement ng Panginoon. Di ba ganun tayo? We want encouragement. Di ba gusto natin na kahit malaki na tayo, niyayakap pa tayo, kinakausap tayo ng maayos, pinagpapasensyahan tayo. Di ba yun ang gusto po natin? But here, nasa gitna ka na ng paglaban, almost there to fight. But you see here, God is cuddling Israel. God is embracing Israel and He was saying, oh, tingnan mo. Get up. Go down against the camp because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. Ano na i-imagine mo habang sinasabi yun ni God kay Gideon? Di ba nakakapagod kung ikaw yung kaharap ni Gideon? Ang kulit-kulit mo, Gideon. Bahala ka na kung ayaw mo wag. Ano ka ba, Gideon? Ang dami-dami ko na pinaliwanag sa'yo. Ikaw, inuutusan mo pa ako, Gideon. Sobra ka na. Pero you see here, the Father's hand of the Lord upon Israel. Because He wanted to deliver Israel. He wanted to deliver your family. He wanted to deliver this nation, Philippines. He wanted to deliver your close friend to Him. Ganon siya kapasensyoso sa'yo. Ganon kanya i-encourage. Kaya mo yan. Kaya mo yan. Anong ginamit ng Diyos para lang ma-encourage si Gideon? Ginamit niya even the words of the enemy. Diba? Sino na ko makapagagawa nun? Diba when we hear about the enemies, yung mga kalaban natin, yung mga kachismisan natin, o yung mga naging kaaway natin sa chismisan, o yung mga bagay na nakaaway natin sa mga maraming bagay, diba? Ano naririnig natin, nakikita natin sa FB, diba pang-babash, pang-aatak sa atin, panlulupig sa atin, pero saan ka nakarinig na kalaban mo, panalo ka? It's only God who can do it. Why? Because wala kahit sino, even Satan can say anything against you. That's the power of God within us. Yan ang gusto ng Diyos na maramdaman mo, that you will always be encouraged in the time of battle. Huwag bahagang buntot. Huwag kang magtatago. Huwag kang mag-aalinlang. kailangan. Maniwala ka, paniwalaan mo sa dulo ng lahat ng ito. Tingin mo imposible, but if God is with you, you can win the battle 100%. Amen! Do not be afraid. He is with you. Come on! Praise the Lord with His might and with His power upon us. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to what they are saying. Ano po nangyari? Verse 12. Nagkwentuhan po na paringaringgan po ni Gideon. Siya po mismo, si Gideon at si disciple, narinig nila. Ang sabi nila, nakapanaginip ako, hindi na panaginip ko. Ano panaginip mo? Tumambak daw ang isang barley of bread doon sa Midianite camp. Paano mangyayari iyon? Yun nga po eh, ridiculous. 135,000? Hindi mo mabilang ang kamelyo, hindi mo mabilang ang mga kabayo, talaga po para po silang locos. Pero ang tumalo lang po sa kanila, tinapay. Nakita niyo po yun? Ano pong ibig sabihin nun? Yung laban natin dito, hindi laban ng laman at dugo, kundi laban doon ng Diyos sa langit. He was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp and struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. Tinapay lang po ang makapagtatalo sa ating mga kalaban. And his friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into His hands. Akalain mo yun, mga kalaban, mas naniniwala pa sa Diyos mo kaysa ikaw naniniwala ka sa Diyos. Yan ang matinding magpapa-zero sa atin. Pero this time around, God orchestrated the battle scene so that Gideon would believe that there is God who is with him and for him. Akalain mo yon na ang tingin ng mga Midianites sa trumpeta, sa pichel, at sa torch ay sword. And this is the power of God. The making of Gideon as a hero. Number three, lead. He led the 300 men in faith and courage. After passing the test, after being encouraged by God, after receiving the encouragement of the Lord, he led. Hindi na siya nagpatumpik-tumpik pa. Ang sabi niya, he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given us the Midianite camp into your hands, dividing the 300 men into 300 companies. Watch me, he told them, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. Bumalik po kayo dito, Randall and Yalel, please help me. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and Gideon. Watch out. The battle is God's. Pero sabi dito, it was a scary battle. 1:450. But what made Gideon fight the Midianites? It's only because of the word of the Lord. Using whatever they have, they gave it all to God. Pero the scariest thing here, Gideon, the old Gideon was revived. Sabi niya, sundan niyo ako, sisigaw ako para sa Diyos at para kay Gideon. Yun bang utos ng Diyos? Yun bang utos ng Diyos? Sumigaw ka. Sabi lang ng Diyos, lalabanan niyo sila sa pamamagitan ng trumpeta, pichel na may torch. Pero si Gideon, sabi niya, pangungunahan ko kayo, sumunod kayong lahat sa akin. And when I shout for the Lord and for Gideon, fight! This is the scariest part of the battle. Sometimes we are in the battle, And we hijacked the glory from the Lord. It was the Lord first and foremost who showed himself mighty and strong to Gideon. And in the time of battle, hearing that we will win the battle, Gideon shared with the glory of God. How subtle are we to inject ourselves into the mission of God? We want our names to be mentioned. We love to see our names printed. Thus, we steal the glory from God. Alam natin that God opposes the proud, yet we frequently enjoy the glory that should be for God and God alone. But the result, Gideon's war is victory. Let's try this. Nasaan ang aking mga kasama, Yalel and Randall, please be on the stage right now. I want you to imagine we are 300 here. And when I shout, you shout your battle to the Lord. And when you shout, shout in faith. And hear the trumpets blow like how they blew it against the Jericho wall and it tumbled down. And against the 135,000 Midianites. And you see the war of God in heaven fighting for you. Ready. We will shout the right shout. It is not for the Lord and for me, nor for the Lord or for Crossroad, nor for the Lord or for any district mentors, nor for the Lord or any known pastors. This is only for the Lord and for the Lord alone. Amen? Amen? Are you ready? 300 men of God, come on. Ang sabi po dito ng Panginoon sa Kanya, watch me as He divided the 300 men. Follow my lead. Are you ready? When I get to the edge of the camp, remember your battles, kapatid. Sabihin mo ang battle mo sa Panginoon. And when I say 1, 2, 3, shout your battle. If you want your battle to be healed, your sickness to be healed, shout it out in the name of Jesus. If you want anything from God, ano man kinakaharap mo, shout it out and your battle will be won by the Lord and by the Lord alone. Are you ready? Ready? Lift up your banner to the Lord, your pitchel, your torch unto the Lord. Follow my lead. Come on. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do in the fear of God. Ready? For the Lord and for the Lord alone. Come on. Fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. Come on. Hear the trumpets blow. Hear the trumpets blow. And shout the good shout of faith. Come on, palakpakan natin ang Panginoon. As we hear the trumpets. Come on, shout. Come on. Put your battle down. Sickness down. Utang, debts down in the name of Jesus. Pride down in the name of Jesus. Fear down in the name of Jesus. Limitation down in the name of Jesus. Curses down in the name of Jesus. Death, pagkamatay, cancer down in the name of Jesus. Depression down in the name of Jesus. Win your battle. Win your battle in the Lord in Jesus' name. For the Lord. For the Lord. Para lang sa Diyos. Ang kagalingan mo. Ang pag-asenso mo. Ang pag-advance mo. Ang leadership mo. Ang ministry. Ang kagalingan mo. Hindi para sa'yo. Para sa Diyos. Para sa Kanyang kaharian. Come on. Clap your hands to the Lord as you receive the winning, winning moment. Winning moment. This is your winning moment in Jesus' name. You are not a zero. You are a hero. You are a hero. You are a hero in Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto Jesus. Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land had peace 40 years. Can you imagine? When God touched you, when God changed you, His touch is good for a lifetime. His God is good for years and for years. Ilang taon ka na ngayon? Magbilang ka plus 40 years. Ganyan tatakbuhin ng Diyos. Kasama ka ang gantimpala ng iyong obedience. Gideon's legacy, he was weak in faith. He constantly doubting God. He is a man pleaser. He is afraid of men. He has false humility. Gideon is so prideful. Yet God chose him to be worthy of this battle. Hebrews 11:32 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." With all Gideon's faults, he is still the man of the hour. He is still the man whom the Lord found worthy to deliver Israelites against the Midianites. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for faith and obedience so He could magnify Himself through us. When Gideon doubted, God said, "I am with you." Have we not been given the same promise in Emmanuel? God is with us. The gospel is that grace that God sends into our lives. Ang paniniwala natin kay Jesus, ang siya nagliligtas sa atin, ang siya nagbibigay sa atin ng enerhiya upang tayo'y mabuhay ng may katapatan at kabanalan sa Kanya. When I think of faithless Gideon, when I think of fleeing Gideon, when I think of prideful Gideon, when I think of an idolatrous Gideon, I think of myself. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 28, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." I want you to read this with me. This will be the last part. Gideon is a graphic picture of us. Next slide. Everybody read. Gideon is a graphic picture of us. We're not the greatest. We're not the most faithful. We're not the most obedient. We're not the most courageous. We weren't that lovely, that valuable when God saved us. We're lazy. We lose direction. We get emotional. We make wrong decisions. We're fearful. These gravitate towards self-righteousness. Despite the exposure to truth, we still lack faith. We still disobey. Our hearts are filled with idols. And God is constantly battling to have our devotion and allegiance to Him. Yet God still uses us like Gideon. Gideon is a beautiful picture of God's grace and patience extended to us that is working in me, in you, through us. In moments of this despair and distress, remember the patience of God. in moments of pride and self-ambition, remember the patience of God. And this calls us to repentance. God was patient with Gideon as He is patient to you. God moved Gideon to victory and He wants to move you into your victory. Become ready to lead a war to defend God's people. Faithful is He who calls you, who will bring it to pass. He is faithful. He is faithful. God is working in us in the middle of all our imperfections. I want us to draw to God in prayer and see Gideon from zero to hero. I am a zero, and it's only by grace that I am becoming a hero. Faithful is He who calls you. He will bring it to pass. It's not an accident that for the whole month of August, we talk about from zero to hero. Today, kung kinikilala mo, if you acknowledge that you are imperfect, and your imperfection, instead of surrendering to the Lord, you became self-centered, offended, fearful, and with this you repent. Nakita mo, imperfect ka. Pero nung nakita mo na imperfect ka, lalo ka lumayo, natakot ka, nag-isolate ka, nabuhay ka na lang sa sarili mo. And with this you want to say, God, please forgive me. If this is your prayer, please stand up. Kinikilala mo na mahal mo ang Diyos, na gusto mo siyang paglingkuran, pero you are so full of pride. Gusto mo lagi kang binabati, lagi kang pinapasalamatan. You want glory. And you are wanting God's, you're wanting people's praise to be upon you, to be with you. And with this, you repent. You say, God, I have fear of men. I am afraid of people. I want glory. At lahat pala yung para lang sa'yo. If there is a moment in my life that I take glory from you, please forgive me. If this is your prayer, please stand up wherever you are. You want to thank the Lord. You want to thank the Lord for His grace. You want to thank the Lord for His patience. You want to thank the Lord for His kindness. All these years, ang dami mong if, ang dami mong issues, pero hindi ka naman sumusunod. At dito, sa punto na ito, gusto mong tanggapin ang biyaya ng Diyos. If you want to thank God for His grace, for His kindness and patience to you, please stand up wherever you are. Nagpapasalamat ka sa pasensya ng Diyos sa'yo. Nagpapasalamat ka sa pakikisama ng Diyos sa'yo. Nagpapasalamat ka sa kabutihan ng Diyos sa'yo. Nagpapasalamat ka sa pagiging ama ng Diyos sa'yo. Nagpapasalamat ka sa encouragement ng Diyos sa'yo. Nagpapasalamat ka sa yakap ng Diyos sa'yo. If this is your prayer, please stand up wherever you are. And last, you want to be a hero. You want to be a hero. You want to pass the test. You want to know God more. You want to believe in God deeper. You want to defend people and to lead people in Christ. If this is your prayer, stand up wherever you are. You want to be a hero to your family. You want to be a hero to your friend. You want to be a hero to someone who's lost. Be a hero. Be a hero. if you want to say, God, I'm renewing my commitment. I'm renewing my commitment without fear. Whenever, wherever, however, you want to use me, I am here. If this is your prayer, stand up.